Today she is Masechta Pesachim Daf Mem Vav. We will begin on Daf Mem Hey Amid Beis, four lines from the bottom, where the Gemara quotes the words of the Mishnah. V'chein v'nyan Tuma, if we have, as we learned in our previous year, a bowl that has chametz dough that was used as the patch. So the Mishnah said, Im Makbrelov. If you're careful about it, if it bothers you, then it's chaytzitz. It serves as a chaytzitz in the keli. Vimroitz b'kiyuma, but if you want it there, harei koreva becomes part of the bowl. And the Gemara attempts to understand what does the Mishnah mean when it said v'chein l'inyan tuma. The Gemara assumes that the Mishnah is referring to a situation where the bowl became tamei, and you are putting it into the mikveh in order to be metarit. And the Mishnah is teaching us that if the dough that is there is something that you don't want to remain there, and you intend to remove it, and therefore it would serve as a chatzitza when you do the tefillah. But if you want the dough to remain there, so because you want it to be there permanently as a patch, so then it becomes part of the bowl, and it isn't a chatzitza. Ask the Gemara, if that's the way we're going to understand the Mishnah, we need to understand the word v'chein. V'chein indicates that the din by tuma is the same as the din by the chametz. But ask the Gemara, the way we're learning midami, are the two situations comparable? Hasam by chametz b'shur talya milsa. As we extensively learned in our previous year, what is the critical factor? Is it or is it not a problem when we discuss chametz? Is there a kazayas there or is there not a kazayas there? Well, what we're looking for, what really is of consequence, is do we have a kazayas or chametz or not? Hachop, whereas when we speak about hilchas chatzitza, as we just explained, but pay the talya milsa. It depends, do I want it there or don't I want it there? So how could the Mishnah have used the word v'chein to compare the two situations when they're so very different? I'm Rabbi Yehuda. So says the Gemara, well, Rabbi Yehuda modifies our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says, I'm Rabbi Yehuda, Ema, the way we need to understand our Mishnah is just the opposite. The linear tuma ain't a chein. That what the Mishnah is saying is that Hilchas Tumah are different than Hilchas Chametz. Amalei Abaya, to which Abaya asks, but that's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah clearly says just the opposite. And the way the Mefarshim explain Abaya's question is that we do find often enough in Shas that the Gemara attempts to redefine the words of a Mishnah. But to go to such a degree, to take it the opposite, that we don't find in Shas. So how does Al Gemara want to totally turn over the Mishnah? Elam Abaya, Hachi Kamar. This is the way to understand the Mishnah. We're in Kelin Yitzir of Tumah B'Pesach. That when we speak about the dough on Pesach, we determine it depends on how much dough I have, Shai Mosheshana, but the rest of the year, it's not going to be that way. There's going to be a difference, Ikeplukta. The difference is going to be if there's if you're makbar or you're not. And what the Mishnah is saying is like this. V'chein l'inyan tuma is speaking on Pesach. On Pesach itself, again, what is critical, even in Hilchas Tuma, is the Kazayas. Then the Mishnah says, the rest of the year, what is the critical factor is regard if you want it, if it's an issue to you or not. But we're speaking about chametz on Pesach, even for tumah, the shear is a kazayas. Hey chidami, explains the Gemara. There is less than a kebeya of food, v'nagu b'hai batzik, and they touch the dough that's in the bowl, that has a kazayas. And together with that, we combine that food with this dough, we now have a kebaya food. And as we discussed towards the end of yesterday's shir, the halacha is that food cannot become tamei unless you have a kebaya food. But Pesach, on Pesach, the surah chashuv, on Pesach, the fact that it's osur makes it of consequence. So if you have a kebaya food, and it must be destroyed, and therefore, as soon as you have a kebaya of chametz, mitztarif, that dough in the bowl combines with the other food, which is less than a kebaya, that I should now have a total of a kebaya food. That's how we look at it on Pesach. So on Pesach, where we're trying to get to having a kebaya of food to get to that number, a kezayis of chametz will always get you to that number. Whereas b'shai Mosh Hashanah, the rest of the year, where the kebaya is not, the kezayis is not the critical factor, b'kepei the taya milsa, what we look at is how much, as if the chametz that we have there, the dough we have there, do I want it to remain there or don't I want it to remain there? Shem makbid alav, if I don't want it to remain in the bowl with starif, that it doesn't become part of the bowl, it does not become part of the bowl. As if, since it doesn't become part of the bowl, it could be mitztarif to that shear of kebaya. However, imroitza b'kiyuma, if I want it to remain permanently in the bowl, so now it becomes part of the bowl. Harei kareva, it becomes part of the bowl, and by becoming part of the bowl, it doesn't, it can't be mitztarif to that number kebaya that we're looking for. Maskula Rava asks Rava on Abaya's interpretation of the Mishnah. Miktani mitztarif, our Mishnah, you are interpreting that the subject of our Mishnah is the issue of tziruf. How do we get to kebaya, or how do we not get to kebaya? But asks Rava to Abaya, our Mishnah doesn't speak about tziruf. Miktani mitztarif, does our Mishnah speak about mitztarif that you're saying that that's what our Mishnah is discussing? For Chaitzitz Ketani, look at the word of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is focused on the Chatzitza part. El Amarava, our Mishnah is V'chein Yitama means something else. V'chein La'al is Tara La'Reva. The question is, if we want to take the bowl to the mikveh, and the Gemara explains itself. Hey Chidami, ki going to Itmi Hachareva, this bowl got tummy, or boilet bule, and we want to take it to the mikveh. But Pesach, the Surah Choshev, on Pesach, that the fact that it's chametz is something that we have to consider. Choytzitz, if you'll have a kezayis of dough, it will become a chatzitza, and therefore, if you'll take this bowl with the chametz, patch of a kezayis in it, loisakle tefila, the tefila will not be a good tefila, it will be considered a chatzitza. However, b'shayi Mosh Hashanah, the rest of the year, which be kepei the talia milsa, where the critical factor is does this dough bother me or not, imak b'dalov, if it's something that I ultimately want to remove from this bowl, then it's going to be a chatzitza, avol v'mroitza b'kayuma, but if it's less than that, harei kareva, it's going to be part of the bowl, and once it's part of the bowl, it's not a chatzitza. And Rashi explains, however, when it's less than a kezayis, so then it's certainly nothing of significance, and even on Pesach, the chametz would not be considered a chatzitza. Ask the Gemara, maskula rapapa, ask the Rapapa, mi k'tan v'chelin y'tahara. So according to Rava, the way to understand the Mishnah, the Mishnah is speaking about how to be metahir, how to make this bowl tohor. But the way Rava just interpreted the Mishnah, the focus wasn't on tumah. The focus was on tahara. So ask the Rapapa to Rava, according to you, the words of the Mishnah don't make sense. For miktani v'chein linya tahara, did the Mishnah focus on tahara? The Mishnah focused on tumah. So how are you interpreting the Mishnah is talking about tahara? Elamar Papa, v'chein linyan lahoyrit tumah la'reva. The subject of our Mishnah is how to make this bowl tumah. And the Gemara explains itself. Hechi dami, exactly what is being discussed. Kigoyin the nogis sheretz b'hai botzik. You have a sheretz that touched the dough that's being used as a patch in this bowl. But Pesach, the surah choshev, on Pesach, where kezayis of chametz is of significance, choytzitz, if the sheretz touched the dough and it did not touch the actual bowl, it won't make the bowl tuma. It makes no difference, makbunalov or not makbunalov. On Pesach, what is of significance is the kezayis. However, b'shai moshishana, the rest of the year, where dough being in the bowl is obviously not a consideration. The bikpeda talia, there, it depends. Do I want to remain it? Do I want it to become part of the bowl? Or don't I want it to become part of the bowl? In makbunalov, if I intended to move it from there, choytzitz, it will not make the it will prevent the bowl from becoming tomei, and it doesn't make a difference how much dough I have, because since I intend to take this dough away, so what touches the dough is not considered as if it actually touched the bowl. However, if I want it to remain there, so if I want it to remain there, it becomes part of the bowl, hare kareva, and it's no difference if I touch the patch, this dough, which is a patch in the bowl, which is going to remain there permanently, or touch the actual bowl. Our Mishnah begins to discuss the loch of a dough that you're not quite certain if the dough became chametz or not. How does the halacha view that situation? So says the Mishnah, Batzer kacheresh, we have a dough that is like a deaf dough. So the way Rashi, Divrei Maskil, Botzik explains, we're talking about, and we'll describe this more in a moment, that the dough became pale, but it doesn't have cracks. Because as we're going to be learning, a dough, as it becomes chametz, has a number of steps. First, it gets pale. Then there are cracks that form in the dough. And after that, the cracks look like the horns of a grasshopper. They start intertwining with each other. They start, first the cracks grow longer. And then afterwards, they start to intertwine. Until the cracks are so significant that they already are intertwining, it's not, the dough is not considered chametz gomer, as we're going to discuss in the Mishnah Daf Mem Ches Amud Beis. And there we learned that we quoted this machlokes. We have a machlokes from Meir Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Meir, as soon as the dough becomes pale, it's considered seir, and the halacha is we have to destroy it. But if you eat seir on Pesach, you're not chayv karis. It's important to point out that seir and tsa'ar, which we discussed, which we know the Torah speaks about tsa'ar, are not the same. According to Yehuda, it only becomes seir when it forms, like chanek hagovim, that it forms these longer cracks. When it's still pale, it's not considered chametz, it's only matzah, and therefore it's mutar b'hanor. It is osur b'derabanan, because, as we explained previously, there's a concern of marasayin. So the way Rashi explains that batzik acherish is a matzah, a dough that got pale. So obviously Rashi's opinion is that the Mishnah is following the opinion of Yehuda, that chsifu panov is not chametz at all, because our Mishnah is not ready to declare this dough automatically prohibited. So we have to explain that the Mishnah follows the opinion of Yehuda, and a chsif uponov, albeit midaraisa, is not osur. The Rambam differentiate. Our Mishnah, when it speaks about batzka cheresh, is talking about a dough that we may not eat, but we're not chayiv koros for eating it. And therefore, we're going to explain that our Mishnah is actually following the opinion of Rav Meir. And that's how we're going to understand, and that's how we're going to understand the Mishnah. Why is this dough called Batzik Acherish, because it's not regular. Just like, unfortunately, a deaf person who looks like everyone else, but unfortunately cannot hear. Others call it Batzik Acherish, that it's just like a deaf person can't hear. Here too, it doesn't make the sound that normally is made when you bang a matzah. So now what the Mishnah says is, so we don't know what is the status of this Batzik Acherish. Im yesh ki yotzeba, if we have another dough that was made at the same time, and that other dough was hichmitz, became chametz, hareza osur. That clearly is an indication that this dough is chametz stick. And as the Mishnah Berurah explains, even though we know for a dough to become, typically we know for a dough to become chametz, it had to take 18 minutes and has to have certain simonim, as we just discussed, that make them to chametz. Since here we have some indication that the dough is chametz, that's why we have to be machmer. As the Rishonim explain, as soon as we have a chash that this dough is possibly chametz, we already have to start being concerned that this dough cannot be eaten on Pesach. Ask the Gemara. So what the Gemara says is, what the Mishnah said, is the way to do the test, to know what is or isn't the status of the dough, is to find another dough. So ask the Gemara, em sham acha ki yotzeba. But what would be the halacha if there is no other dough like this to test with? Mahu, what will we do then? Amar avu, amar shim men lakish, k'day shielich adam amigdal l'gnunya l'tfaria, mil. We have to look at what we just said. If it's 18 minutes, then we know that it's chametz. However, the Rishonim, the Rambam, in Hilchas Chametz Matzah, Perek Hei Aloch Yud Gimel, explains that it has to be that you were working with the chametz the entire time. That means, if you didn't work with the chametz, then the shear is 18 minutes. If you worked with the dough, as long as you never stopped working with the dough, then technically a pidin, even if it took all day long, if you did real work with the dough, it's not just that you touch it, you have to actually knead it or work with it, that prevents chimutz from happening. V'neimo mil, so if the shear is 18 minutes mil, because that's the amount of time it takes to walk a mil, why don't we just say that? Why do we say the amount of time to walk from Migdal Nunya L'Tveria? Answers the Gemara HaKamashman, the shear mil, if we want to know how far a mil is, can Migdal Nunya L'Tveria, look how long it takes to walk from Migdal Nunya to Tveria. So now that we've mentioned this shear of a mil, the Gemara speaks about other places where there are shiurim of distance. Amar Avu, Amar Shim Melakish, Legabel. Somebody who makes doughs for other people, and he was hired to make the dough for another person, but Tahara. But the kalim that the person who hired him gave him were tamei, and he doesn't have a mikveh nearby to take those kalim. The mikveh is further away. That's the way Rashi explains. So now the question is, how far does the person have to go to the mikveh because he accepted upon himself to make this dough b'tahara? That's how Rashi Legabel explains the Mishnah. The Gemara. Rabbeinu Chananel explains that we have an individual who always eats chulam b'tahara. And the question is, this person who's careful always to eat chulam b'tahara, how much does he have to bother to go take his kalim to the mikveh? The Tosfos, the Ramaskul Gabel, explains that, quoting the Oruch, explains that our Mishnah is talking about somebody who's traveling on the road, and he can't find somebody to make dough for him. He can't find a bakery that makes dough b'tahara. How long does he have to wait, or how long does he have to walk to find such a bakery. The Rambam says, we're talking about a person who's at home, who wants to make his dough with tahara. How far does he have to bother to get to a mikveh to make his kelim tahar? Of course, points out in the Noid Behuda that if he's using a small shear, so since there's a smaller shear, there's a different halacha. Because part of the reason why we have to make, and this is going to come up later in the shear, Mitzvah Shem, part of the reason we have to make the dough b'tahara is because we want to take off challah, and challah should be always taken off b'tahara. But if you're not using enough flour, as we've discussed previously, for which you will be mechuyev to take off challah, then this consideration wouldn't be there. The next issue is l'tefillah. So here too we have many pshatim. One, the simple pshat, is that somebody's traveling on the road, and he wants it, and there's no, how far does he have to walk to get to a minyan? Others explain that we're not necessarily talking with going to a minyan. We're referring to a situation where a person, even if you're not going to be able to daven the minyan, there's a point to daven in the base of Knesset. So how far does the person have to walk to be able to daven in a base of Knesset? And the machlokes is, what is the machlokes Rishonim and understanding this Gemara, is what is the point of that, when is that specialty of davening in a base of Knesset apply? Is it only when you're davening b'minyan? Or even if you're not davening b'minyan, there's a point at least to davening in a base of Knesset. Ulanatilas adayim. Here too, many pshatim in the Rishonim. One pshat in the Rishonim is that a person wants to eat bread, and he doesn't have water available to wash his hands. And the halacha is, how far do you have to go to find water? Others say it's referring to somebody who wants to wash his hands before davening. And the halacha is that before davening, you have to wash your hands. The Rabbeinu David explains that we're referring to a person who wants to go to the mikveh for Tfilas Ezra before he davens. Rabbeinu David is not so satisfied with that pshat, because he says, we know the Gemara Masechta Bracha says that Chazal say that we're not obligated to do Tfilas Ezra. And therefore, he explains that we're referring to an individual who needs to use the bathroom. How far does he have to stop davening to find the bathroom? And again, Gemara is going to give the shear. The shear for all of this is Arba Milam. He should walk 4 mil to be able to accomplish this. And if he can't, then he doesn't have to. The Mishnah Brura, when he speaks about the Arba Milam, points out that the Arba Milam is not measured in distance. The Arba Milam is measured in time. So, Bizman Azeb, where we travel in a car, so Arba Milam is much longer. The time to walk Arba Milam is 18 times 4, the time to travel 17 minutes. Amr Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, Iva Amru, that this that you said with Seber Rav Shimon Lakish wasn't actually Seber Rav Shlakish, it was actually taught by Iva, Vaba Amru. The four things he said regarding the Shir of Arba Mil, the Chag Minayu, one more is Ibud. The halacha is that if we have a hide of an animal that at a certain point, as we discussed, once it's processed, it doesn't have the din of basar anymore. The Tanav Kulon, all the different types of hide, skin of an animal, shivdin, that were processed, or shiilch ben kedei avoidah tahirim, they don't have the din of basar anymore. Chutz mi'ara adam, except human skin. Kama kedei avoidah, and to that comes the Gemara. What is the kam that considered kedei avoidah that it loses that status? Amar Rav Aiva, Amar Rav Yanai, kedei hiluch arba milim, the amount of times to walk arba milim. Amar Rav Yosef Chanina, loy shanu, this that we said that you have to wait arba milim el fonov, when it's in the direction that you are walking. So since it's in the direction that you're walking. Therefore, you have to be ready to walk. You're going in that direction anyway. Walk the 4 milim. Aval la'achrof, if it's in the opposite direction, afilu mil en chayzer, that the halach is that you don't have to walk backwards even a mil. Amar of acha umino, based on what we just learned, that if you're walking, if it's in the opposite direction, and we said afilu mil en chayzer, we learned mil. We don't make you walk more than a mil. Hapachsun mil, but let's say it's less than a mil, then you would have to walk. So the way the Paiskim explained this Gemara is that if, not just if it's in the opposite direction, but if you're sitting at home and you need to go get water or what the other things that we're learning, the shear is also a mil. So we know, as we've discussed previously in our Masechta, that if you make a dough out of one of the chamishas mini dogim, you have to take off challah. The Torah says, "Reishes arisay seichem challah turim v'turuma ketrumas goyrin kein turima oisa." The halacha is midaraisa. There's no shear to challah. You take even off the smallest amount, you fulfill the mitzvah. Midrabanon, the shear is 1/24 of the dough, because that is considered kedei matana. Now, if somebody's making dough on Pesach, you have to bake it obviously immediately. For as we said a few moments ago, if you don't bake it immediately, the dough, chas v'shalom, is going to become chametz. Our Mishnah discusses if somebody is making a dough on Pesach, what do you do? So if the dough is tahira, if the dough is tahor, so there's no problem, because I'll give the challah to the kohen and he'll be able to eat it on Pesach, and bake it and eat it on Pesach. The issue is if the dough is tamei, and the halacha is you're going to take off challah, but the kohen may not eat it because challah tamei, just like truma tamei, may not eat it, so that may not be eaten. So if we're going to be baking that dough, we're not going to be baking it letzayr chachila. And the halach is that although baking is permitted on Yontif, but if it's not letzorich achila, it's osur. Because as the Torah says, kam halach lo yas behem, acha sheyochel chol nefesh, hu levada yas lechem, only what's oichel nefesh, only baking something that's letzorich oichel nefesh may be done on Yontif. And obviously, so what has to be done with chal tameya? It has to be burnt. But here, I can't leave over the dough in an unbaked state until after Yontif, because it's going to become chametz. To burn it on Yontif is also not an option, because as we've learned, the halach is ain't sar from kachim b'yontif. Anything kachim, truma, that become disqualified may not be burnt on Yontif. Furthermore, giving it to a dog before it became chametz would also be prohibited, because the halach is giving it to the dog is a form of beer, and we're not allowed to do beer, as we just said, of kachim on Yontif. Moreover, the Ran suggests that dough which is really edible, it just became tamei, you may not give to the kohen's dog. So what do you do? Ask the Mishnah. Ketzed mafrishin chala b'tumah. What do you do under these circumstances when it's yontif? Reb Elazar amar lo tikra l'shem. Don't identify in any of your doughs what is the chala. So when you're baking a whole dough, and only after you bake it will you take off and make it chala. At that point, it's already matzah, because it was already baked, and you don't have a problem that you have in your possession any chametz. Moreover, Rashi says that you don't have to take off challah from every dough after you bake all the doughs. You'll be able to take one piece for all the doughs that you make, which is always the halacha. As long as the doughs are next to each other, you could take challah that way. Ben Beseira Omer. Ben Beseira says, take off the challah and tattle with soinin. Put it into cold water. And by putting it into cold water, it will prevent the chimutz. Why doesn't Ben Beseira like what Reb Lezer says? Because Ben Beseira says that since I know that in the dough that I'm baking, there is challah, which I'm not allowed to bake, which I'm not allowed to be mafrish, which I have a problem on Yontif with all these different things. So therefore, the halacha is, I'm not allowed to bake knowing that that's what I intend to do. I'm Rabbi Shua. Rabbi Shua says that this dough that became chametz, and I'm taking off a piece to be chalas, I don't have a problem by Yerubayimatzah on this piece of chametz, because the Torah, when it speaks about Bayiro and Bayirotza, says, V'loyiro l'chosor. Only your dough is a problem. And this dough doesn't belong to you. It belongs, therefore, there is no problem of Bayiro b'yimatza. El mafrishnasai, take off the challah from the dough, or menichsai l'erif, and leave it there till matzah yontav, when you could burn it. And even though in mechmitza, if it becomes chametz, it isn't a consideration. It isn't something that we have to be concerned about. The Paiskim discuss a question. The Chasam Sofer in Or Chaim Siman Kuf Chav Zayin says the shear of chametz is a kesevis. A kesevis is a bigger shear. So what's the problem? Just take off a small amount for challah. And the shear of chametz we learned is a kazayis. And we learned that midaraisa, it's enough to take off just a small amount. So the Tshuva Mahava answers that, as we discussed in previous shear, the halacha is that chatzis shear is also midaraisa, and that's why it's not a problem. That's why we have a problem even if you can take off a small amount. Another Torah study saw that once Chazal said that the halacha is that you have to take off, as we said at the beginning of our Mishnah, a 24th, then the halacha becomes that is the shear midaraisa. And therefore, we don't have the heter that I'm going to take off a small amount, and since I'm going to take off a small amount, I don't have a problem. Ask the Gemara. So the way we understand our Mishnah, there's a fundamental machloikis, Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua, if chametz which doesn't belong to me, am I over by Yerua by Yematzah or not? Says the Gemara, we know that there's a concept of Tovus Hanoah. Tovus Hanoah means that I, the owner, have the right to choose which koyin I'm going to give the challah, which koyin I'm going to give the truma to. So the question here is, that Tovus Hanoah, does it have any value or not? And the Gemara wants to say, that is the Machlokes of Elazar and Yeshua. Lema b'Tovus Hanoah k'mifkli. The Machlokes of Elazar and Yeshua is where I only have Tovus Hanoah in the Challah, is that considered that I have a financial ownership? The Rebbe Elazar saw a Tovus Hanoah momen, and therefore it's considered that I have financial ownership here, and therefore I have a problem of Bayiro and Bayimotza. And Rabbi Shua Sava, and Rabbi Shua's opinion is, the Tovus Hanoah ain't a moment, it's not considered money, and therefore there's no financial ownership, and there's no problem of Bayiro and Bayimotza. But ask the Tzlach, why, even if you hold Tovus Hanoah moment, that's on something that has a value. Here we're talking about chametz. When we speak about chametz, so it has no value. Who wants chametz on Pesach? So how can we say Tovus Hanoah Momen on Pesach? So he answers, we found a concept at the beginning of our Masechta. The Gemara taught us, Shnei Dvarim, Einem Rishusa Shel Adam, the two things that are really midaraisa and not mine, V'kosuv Asim Rishusai, but the Torah makes it mine. Chametz b'Pesach, Ubar b'Shusa Rabim. So we see here a very big chiddush. The chiddush that we see here is that the Torah can make it mine l'chumra. And here too suggests the Echroinim that by me making it, by it will be mine l'chumra. Why? Says the Gemara. And the Rav Shua holds Sava Tavis Adai any moment. Says Loi, the Gulam is Tavis Adai any moment. Everybody agrees that it's not Mammon. For Hachasai, if that's the case, why should Rav Eleza say that there's a problem by Yerua by Yimotzah? Says the Gemara, Bahacha Bahayil Kamufki. We're learning a new concept that since we could do something, does the Halacha accept the concept that since something can happen, it already is considered as if it happened? The Blessed Sabbath, Hoyle Viboim Itchala. Anytime you separate Truma, Chala, it's a form of a nether. You could be Shoyle on that Afrosha. And then it turns out that it's not Chala. And therefore, since you could have potentially done that, that is enough to make it be considered Mamoine. Rav Shua holds that Loyamir and Hoyle, right now it's not Chala. And since it's not Chala, then the halacha is that, and we don't say hoil, that it's chala, there's no bayi rabbi by matz because it doesn't belong to you. And we don't say, well, it can revert back. We don't look, the halacha doesn't look at it. The halacha looks at it on, as it is now. But as to Shaar HaMelech, the halacha is that ain the sholem l'dorim b'yontif. We're not allowed to go to Rav to be matin nedon yontif. So even if we apply the concept of hoil, how can we be lenient? So how can we say that it can revert back? So he says that the din that ain the sholem b'yontif is only midrabbanan. Midaraisa, you can be matan neder on yontif. And since you can be matar hanah b'yontif, the halacha is that is enough to be able to apply the concept of tovus hanah mamon. An interesting machlokes rishonim. It's enough to say hoyel. Interesting machlokes rishonim. Do we paskin tovus hanah or not? The Maram Chalava paskins that we do paskin tovus hanah mamon, but the Rif and the Rosh paskin that the halacha is that tovus hanah is not mamon. Says the Gemara, Itmar. So now the Gemara delves into the subject of hoyel. Hoyfa miyantav l'chol. That means you finished your yontif de gemil, and you're certain that you're not going to eat any more on yontif, because if there's a possibility that you're going to eat, then of course you're allowed to bake on yontif. We don't have to start thinking, well, I'm cooking and I'm baking on yontif, and now it turns out that I didn't need it. If there's a possibility that I need it, the halacha is I'm certainly allowed to bake it. Here, we're talking about, I finished eating. And in fact, I saw that's why the Gemara chooses to speak about ha'oifa, and not about ha'mevashel. Because when you cook, there's always a possibility that you're going to eat more. Baking is, if you finish your meal, it's unlikely you're going to wash again to eat bread. That's why, if you baked at that point, Rav Chisda ha'meloika, Rav Chisda, he says you get malchus, because as we said a few moments ago, only melacha that may be done on yontif is letzorech echal nefesh, what you need to eat. Here you finished eating, so what you're baking now, you have no right to bake, and you get malchus for bimachal yontif. And Rava ama ein aloika, and Rava says that you don't get malchus because you always have the possibility that you will eat. Says the Gemara, Rav Chisda Maloika, Lamrin Ha'amikle Orchim Chazale. According to Rav Chisda, we can't say, well, maybe guests will show up, and if guests will show up, I will need that food, and therefore I had a right to bake it. And Rav Ma'ena Loika, Rav says you don't get Malkus, Amrin and Hoyle. We apply concept of Hoyle, since there's always a possibility the guests will come, and therefore, if the guests come, I will have a need for that food and that I cooked and baked. And that's enough of a reason that shouldn't be considered that I did something wrong. Explain the Rishonim. According to Rav Chisda, that we don't say hoyel. So I had no right to bake. What would be the halacha if I ended up baking and guests did show up? What would be the halacha? Will I be chayiv or not? So the Meiri says that under those circumstances, if at the end I locked out and guests showed up, then the halacha is that I wasn't mechal yontif. In fact, the Mishnah Berura in Siman Tuf Ayin Gimel Sif Katan Lamed Beis says that let's say somebody the halacha is that the zroya that we put on the seder plate we should prepare before yontif, and if we didn't prepare it before yontif, we have to be and we prepare it on yontif. We can't eat it by the night because we don't eat roasted food at night by the seder. But by day we should be careful to eat it. Otherwise, we will have cooked loyal tzarich yontif. Why? Because by ultimately eating it, we show that we weren't mechal Shabbos. In fact, there's a very interesting discussion in the Paiskim taking this concept to Hilchos Shabbos. We know when we speak about the Melacha Beirur, there's a big nafkamina in Halacha if I do it to eat la'altar or I do it to laniach. If I do it laniach, it's considered Beirur. I did a Melacha. If I did it to eat immediately, then it's not Beirur. What would be the Halacha if somebody did Beirur lahaniach, but then he realized they did something wrong, so he quickly eats it right away? Will that be able to change that it's not considered a melachas beirur? So, at first glance, it should be the same as the miri that we just discussed, but the sefer shalma toida says it's not the same. Why? Because by beirur, we're defining. This is the definition of a malacha. If you do it lahaniach, it's a malacha. If you do it la'echa, la'altar, it's not a malacha. Once you did a malacha, you're chayiv on Shabbos. That can't change. You did a malacha. Here, the point is, did you cook? Was it eaten on yontif or not? And as long as it was not eaten on yontif, there is no problem. So, Tosfos at the Vermaskel Rava asks, if you're going to say the concept of Hoyle, then there'll never be any issue, or even on Shabbos. Because we know that on Shabbos, the halacha is that L'tzor Hoyle will have to do Melacha. So there's always the possibility that there's going to be somebody who's sick, and you will have allowed to do the Melacha. So if you apply the concept of Hoyle, you can't. How can you be Michal Shabbos? So Taisa says that since Chil Shabbos for Choyle is something which is not Shchiach, and since it's something which is not Shchiach, therefore we can't say Choyle. We only could say Choyle on something which is Shchiach. So I saw that the Sefer Yisa Brocha from the Majid to Rebbe, he takes this and explains this as follows. He says, the Gemara used the words Hoyle. How do we understand the word Hoyle? He says, we find the word Hoyle in the Torah, V'yoyel Moshe L'shevis Asa'ish. Hoyle means something that I want to happen. I want guests to come, but I don't want that somebody should be sick, and therefore we can't say Hoyle. Another terrorist that I saw that the Achronim suggest is that this that we're allowed to do Malacha for a Hoyle on Shabbos is not Hutra. It's not that it's 100% permissible. It's the chuya. If Rahman Slam were faced with a situation that there's a chayla, we're allowed to be mechal Shabbos. So that doesn't mean that that's not like chayla mekla orchim, which we, of course, for guests on yontif, we're allowed to cook lechatchila. Amalei Rabbeinu Rav Chisda. According to my opinion, that we say chayl, that's why we could bake when yontif falls on Friday for the next day. Because I'm really cooking for today. And for today, I'm always allowed to cook. And because we say hoyle. However, he asks, but according to your opinion that say, we don't say hoyle, how are we allowed to bake? How are we allowed to cook when yontif is on Friday? Amalei, so Rav Chisda responded, Mishum Erev Tavshilin. Because we put down an Erev Tavshilin. So Rava answers, Mishum Erev Tavshilin is Sharina Surah Daraisa, if the halacha is that you're not allowed to do it, so how will the Erev Tavshilin help you? Amalei, so Rav Chisda responded, Midaraisa, my opinion is that Midaraisa Tzarchi Shabbos Nasim B'yontif. You're allowed to cook on Friday for Shabbos, because they're both called Shabbos. They want Kedusha. And therefore, just like I'm allowed to cook for today, I'm allowed to cook for tomorrow. It's the Rabbanu who the girls are by. It was the Rabbanu who were concerned. Shema Yomer Oifim Yontav Aflachol. That we're going to allow you to cook from Friday to Shabbos. You may cook even for a weekday. The Kivin that Tzuchu Rabbanu Eruv Teshilin. But now the Chazal said, put on Eruv Teshilin. Islo Heker. You're going to have a Heker. Machloikis Imasech Tebeyod Av Tezvav Amabeis. What does that mean? Is it mean that the fact that you have one the Eruv Teshilin set aside, so it means Kadeshiv or Mana Yontav Lashabbos or Mana Yontav, or does it mean that you already began cooking from before Shabbos and that is satisfied? Itva Esvei asked the Gemara on Rav Chizda's opinion. It says in a Mishnah Masech Tebei Daf Chof Hey Omer Aleph Behema Hamasukenes. If you have an animal that's very ill, Lo Yishchot El Kadeshiyochel. You're only allowed to shecht it on Yontif, so you're worried that the animal's not going to survive after Yontif. So luckily you can only shecht it if you can eat at least a kazayis roasted on Yontif. So we see from here, yochel lechel, avgav de boil mechel, even though you're not going to eat it. So according to me that I say hoyel, hoyel vi boil mechel, Matziochel, since if you want to eat from that animal, you would be allowed to eat it. That's enough, Yishchot, to allow you to shecht it. Eli, Dachtam, Elohimin, Hoyle, Amai Yishchot, it's not a Shlichit, Lotzarech Yontif. And since the Gemara, Amalei, Mishim Hefsim, Mimainai. Because otherwise the animal will die and it will be in a Vela. Ask the Gemara, ask Ravitar of Chizda, Mishim Hefsim, Mimainai, Shirina, Suru, Deraisa, we're going to allow you to be Oiva, Nisa, Deraisa, Amalei, in. Because, says Rav Chizda, Mishum Hefsim Emoinai, the person realizes that if he's not going to shecht this animal and eat at least a kazayas of the tzli, he's going to lose this animal. That makes that gomer beliboy that he decides lechel kazayas, that he's going to eat a kazayas of this animal. Because yefsh lechel kazayas possible, or shechita. And since you have to eat shecht the entire animal to even eat a kazayas, so it's not just maybe you're going to eat it, you're certainly going to eat it. Because the Rishonim, in fact, explained that even Rav Chizda, who doesn't hold of hoyel, doesn't mean that I only could bake or cook on Yontif if I know for sure that I'm going to eat it. If I think I'm going to eat it, and then I'm not hungry, or I think I'm going to have guests, and then they don't show up, we still say hoyel. So we still allow you to cook. So as soon as you decide to eat the meat, even though the reason you made that decision was only because you wanted to save the animal, it doesn't make a difference. As soon as you had that intention, that is enough to make that we should be allowed to cook or bake on Yontif. So our Gemara says, "Hoifim Yontif l'chol, Rav Ama en Eloika, hoil u'mekalei orchim." If guests may show up, the chazilei, and he'll have what to eat. So the tzlach asks, what is the whole concept of hoyel? The concept of hoyel is that the guests may show up and I'll serve it to them. So he asks, it should have said hoyel v'chazilehu, that I'm going to serve it to the guest. So he explains that the pasuk says, tzadik oichel l'soy v'nafshoy, v'beten rishoyim techzar. What's the point of tzaddik oichel seven nafshoi, that the tzaddik eats and he's satiated? The pshat is that when a tzaddik has guest, he eats along with the guest, even though he's full, because he doesn't want that the guest should sit there by themselves and eating. But the grishoyim don't eat when they have guest, because they're not so satisfied that the guest eat, because if they don't want the guest should eat up their food. So if they're not going to eat, it's less likely that the guests are going to eat. So now, tzaddik oichel l'soy v'nafshoi, when the tzaddik has guests, not only do the guests eat, but he eats along with the guest. The rishoyim don't want the guests to eat, so they don't eat themselves either. So hoyel u'mikalei orchim, if you're going to have guests, so not only chazal lehu, not only will they eat, but we're talking about tzaddikim. And because we're talking about tzaddikim, they themselves will also eat because they want the chazilei, because they want their guests to feel good.